D. James Kennedy Ministries presents Truths That Transform.
Today on Truths That Transform, we move from Thanksgiving into the Christmas season.
The Bible is the most astonishing and incredible book in the entire history of the human race. And Christians have always believed that it was the Word of God.
As we prepare to celebrate Christ's birth, how do we know that the things we believe about Jesus are true?
We should believe that the Bible is true for the same reason we should believe that anything is true.
We will look at why we believe the Bible on today's Truths That Transform. Welcome to Truths That Transform, a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries, where we are standing for truth and defending your freedom. Having given thanks this week, we now enter fully into the Christmas season. All this month, we will be looking at the reasons for believing in Jesus Christ, whose birth we celebrate. On today's program, we'll hear from Dr. D. James Kennedy on why you can trust the biblical accounts of Christ. And we have put together a package of amazing resources for strengthening and defending your faith that we'll share with you a bit later. And we begin with a former homicide detective who tells us that investigating the evidence leads us to the truth that the Bible is the very Word of God. Our own Dr. Jerry Newcomb brings us more.
Would you state your name and experience for the record?
My name is James Warner Wallace. I'm a retired homicide detective from Los Angeles County.
And are you the author of the book, Cold Case Christianity?
Yes, I am.
Can you share the subtitle of the book with the court, please?
A homicide detective investigates the claims of the Gospels.
In the 2016 movie, God's Not Dead 2, Christianity is, in effect, put on trial. One of those testifying on behalf of the Bible is former atheist J. Warner Wallace.
Within a matter of months, I determined that the four Gospels, written from different perspectives, contained the eyewitness accounts about the life, ministry, death, and resurrection of Jesus.
J. Warner Wallace helped solve many cold case homicides. He did this through examining and finding key evidence in the transcripts of witnesses, even ones who had been dead long ago. His cases have been featured more than that of any other detective on NBC's Dateline. Even though he was an atheist, Wallace decided to apply his skills to investigate the claims of Christianity.
I didn't know anything about what church was like, what to expect, but I did know how to put together a case. And so I started to look at Christianity as a case.
Recently, J. Warner Wallace co-wrote a book on spreading the faith from one generation to the next. His co-author was Biola University's Dr. Sean McDowell, the son of famed Christian apologist Josh McDowell. The book is called So the Next Generation Will Know.
We should believe that the Bible is true for the same reason we should believe that anything is true. If the Bible's not true, don't believe it. If it's true, believe it.
Are we ready to give the reason to answer the questions? They may just sound a little bit different in this generation.
In his role as a cold case homicide detective, Wallace specialized in evaluating eyewitness testimony.
Well, I learned a long time ago not to trust any eyewitness, but to test them first. And now what kind of test could we apply? Well, I know what the jury instructions are going to tell jurors in the state of California. There's 14 questions we let jurors think about when they are listening to witnesses on the stand.
That includes such critical issues as, were they there when the event happened? Can their testimony be corroborated by someone else? Did they change their story over time? And also, did they have any ulterior motives for their testimony?
Did they have some bias that would cause them to lie. There are only three motives behind any lie, only three motives behind any murder, only three motives behind any crime or anything you've ever done wrong. It's simple. It's financial greed, sexual lust, and the pursuit of power. Those are the only three reasons why anyone commits a crime. So if they're lying about this, it's going to be one of those three things that's driving it.
As Wallace then examined the Bible, the four Gospels in particular, using the criteria of eyewitness reliability, what did he find?
If you want to lie about Jesus, here's how you do it. You wait till everyone who knows the truth is dead. Then you can say anything you want. You can corroborate them sometimes with other non-Christian statements, other interior elements that are in the actual text you can use. I use something called forensic statement analysis with bad guys to test their statements. I did the same thing with the Gospels to see if I could find deception indicators, uses of pronouns, do they change their use of pronouns, optional words like adjectives and adverbs are important in forensic statement analysis, all kinds of deception, expansion of time. Why are you expanding the time there? Why are you skipping a bunch of stuff and contracting time? Those are usually giveaways that help me to tell if this thing's true. So that's corroboration. And finally, do they possess one of those three motives? Were they driven by money? Were they getting rich for their story? Were they getting, you know, girlfriends for their story? Were they getting power? A lot of skeptics will say, yeah, but, you know, it's power. They will be a leader in their own religious community if they make up the story. So Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, you're telling me he's trying to gain power? The guy who started off with power as a religious authority to draw papers to execute Christians, you're telling me he jumps out of that context and then gets beat for 30 years, hoping to someday return to what he already had with a smaller group that's not even in favor? Okay, yeah, these things are possible, but they're not reasonable. And so I just knew after testing it, I was stuck with the person of Jesus as reported in the Gospels. Now, you can apply that same approach to the Book of Mormon, to the Quran, to any other ancient text. And you're going to find out that they don't measure the same way the Bible does. So of these ancient narratives that accept the existence of God in some fashion, only one will pass that kind of test. And it was the New Testament.
If Jesus Christ bodily rose from the dead, that would prove the veracity of his claims to be the Son of God and the Savior. What does J. Werner Wallace have to say about applying his cold case detective skills to the resurrection of Christ?
There's lots of ways of explaining the empty tomb, explaining the transformation of disciples' lives. There are claims even that they said they saw a risen Christ. I mean, they could have imagined it. They could have been lying about it. There's lots of different possibilities. They could have stolen the body. There's tons of ways to account for these different facts that we think are in history. The question is, do they work? Which is the most reasonable of the explanations? Now, I will tell you. What makes the Christian explanation seem unreasonable is that it requires something supernatural, a resurrection. So, if you took that out, everything else in terms of the facts of history makes sense given the Christian explanation. It just happened. He died on a cross. He was buried. He rose again. But the problem is it requires this thing that many people have decided beforehand is unreasonable. And that is a supernatural, extranatural event. Because people just don't rise again after they've died. But it seems to me if the thing we're investigating is simply, can something supernatural ever be the most reasonable explanation? That's what you're examining. You can't decide beforehand, no, that can never be. Well, no, that's what we're examining. You don't start an investigation with a conclusion in hand. The facts surrounding the resurrection are best and most reasonably explained by the account in the New Testament. Theories about lying and conspiring don't work. Theories about hallucinations don't work. Theories about imposters don't work. I don't care what theory you come at, and I looked at all of them, even the most recent ones in the last, say, 10 years. The idea there's an influential person who has a hallucination, right, that he influences everybody else. I mean, there's always a new theory. And I looked at all of them to see if they would work. They all have deal killers in them. The only deal killer in the resurrection story based on Christianity is that it's supernatural. Well, okay, look. I believe there was a supernatural first cause to the universe, even as an atheist. Something outside of space, time, and matter caused all space, time, and matter to come into existence. So I was already there. The question is, could that thing act again in history? And so I wasn't as far a step as I thought it was. When I examined the Gospels, I was trying to determine if these were accurate, reliable accounts, in spite of any differences that might be between the accounts.
And as a devout Christian, you feel you succeeded?
No, Mr. Crane, I think you misunderstand me. When I began this study, I was a devout atheist. I began examining the Gospels as a committed skeptic, not as a believer. I'm not a Christian because I was raised that way or because I hoped it would satisfy some need or accomplish some goal. I'm simply a Christian because it's evidentially true.
It's fascinating to see the evidence of the Bible through the eyes of someone professionally trained to examine evidence. And how encouraging it is to know that we can trust this book as the very Word of God. Dr. D. James Kennedy made it one of the missions of his pulpit ministry to make sure that Christians understood the foundations of their faith and are able to defend them to skeptics. He has more in this portion of his classic message, How I Know the Bible is God's Word.
The Bible is the most astonishing and incredible book in the entire history of the human race. And Christians have always believed that it was the Word of God. There are many people, however, right here in America that have no idea how remarkable that Scripture is, how truly astonishing a book this is. The scriptural ignorance that exists in our country today is profound and lamentable. But how do we know that the Bible is indeed God's Word? God Himself tells us how we may know whether a book has come from Him, whether a prophet has come from Him. He tells us quite explicitly. He says, Hereby ye will know that a prophet has come from me, if the things which he foretells comes to pass. Because God is the only one that knows the future. I am God, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times things which have not yet come to pass. As one historian says, the future turns on too many slippery ball bearings for any human being to be able to know it. And the truthfulness of that is constantly seen in the ludicrous attempts by modern prophets, seers, and psychics to proclaim the future. And usually they get little, if anything, right at all. And yet, contrary to that, the Old Testament alone contains well over 2,000 specific predictive prophecies. None of the other so-called scriptures of the world contain specific predictive prophecies. Only the Bible. And here are over 2,000 alone that have been fulfilled already in the Old Testament. Concerning Jesus Christ, there are over 333 specific predictive prophecies that describe every detail of the life of Jesus Christ, which give us the exact date when He will come into the world. They give us the exact that is found in Daniel 9, the exact place in Micah 5, Bethlehem of Ephratah, and the incredible nature of His birth in Isaiah 7, that He would be born of a virgin. Furthermore, all of the details of His ministry and His career and His character, His betrayal for 30 pieces of silver, His crucifixion, the piercing of His hands and feet, His burial in the grave of a rich man, His resurrection from the dead, His ascension into heaven, and His proclamation to the Gentiles, these and hundreds of others are specifically set forth in the Old Testament prophecies. There is nothing in all of the literature of mankind which even vaguely approaches this sort of thing. But I have given whole sermons on the matter of predictive prophecy and will not belabor that any further today. I would like to move on, secondly, to another evidence of the divine authorship of the Scripture, which comes from the amazing unity of the book, something which most people would overlook. But stop and think. The Bible is a book of 66 different chapters or books. And these books were written by about 40 different authors living on several different continents and numerous different nations as Palestine, Babylon, Greece, Rome, Asia Minor, and perhaps Arabia. They were written in three different languages, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. And they were written by people who lived some 60 centuries apart. There is the same golden theme that runs through all of these books. The golden thread of the redemption of sinful man by the grace of God through faith in the shed blood of the Redeemer. Now keep in mind, there was no publisher who commissioned the writing of such a book. There was no editor who gave forth a plan. There was no editorial committee which oversaw its development. And there was never an outline that was spread about to the different authors. And yet, in spite of the fact that there is every sort of literature, including prose and poetry, history and law, biography and travel, genealogies, ethnicities and philosophies, and all sorts of other forms of literature, nevertheless, all of this combines to provide an incredible unity from Genesis to Revelation. There is no other book in all of the world that has ever been made in this way. Having written a number of books, I know what publishers and editors and editorial committees do. None of this was involved, and yet we have this incredible unity of the book, which testifies that the hand that made this book is divine. This is further and thirdly seen in the indestructibility of Scripture. You should realize that no other book in the history of mankind has ever endured such continued attack by so many and so mighty men for so many ages. For 2,600 years, all of the powers of this world have combined to destroy this book, and yet it still remains. The anvil stands, the hammers lie broken about it. But lastly, let me mention the transforming power of the Scripture. The Bible says that it will transform nations and peoples that believe it. That ultimately the divine authority of the Scripture is experienced in the human heart, in the laboratory of the human soul, by personal and intimate experience with the author of the Scriptures, who is the Holy Spirit. And when that Holy Spirit comes to take up his residence in the human heart, people come to know that this indeed is the Word of the living God. My friends, if you've come to know Christ, then his Spirit has come into your life and he's given you a hungering and a thirsting for that Word. May I say that these and many other evidences conclusively demonstrate that the Scriptures are indeed the very Word of God. And if they are, then let me say to you this, then their promises are true. Promises of eternal paradise for all of those that will trust in the grace of God as it's revealed in Jesus Christ. For all of those who will invite Christ to be the Lord and Savior of their lives, to come in and cleanse them and renew them and make them his own. But also, may I say, my friends, it means this, that the promises that the Scripture makes of eternal perdition and damnation are equally true. And it is God before whom one day you will stand and have to give an account. And you will have to tell him why it is that you never accepted his free offer of eternal life. Why it is you've lived a rebellious life. Why it is you've never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ. Ah, my dear friend, boast not thyself of the morrow. Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. This may be your last day upon this earth. God could not have done more. What more can he do than for you he has done? To give his Son and his promise and to establish them by irrefutable proofs. And yet, some of you still in the hardness of your own hearts, turn your back upon His offered love. Oh, I urge you right now to repent of your sins and to open your hearts and to invite Him to come in and to surrender your life to Him while the day of grace still shines upon you.
As you have just heard from Dr. Kennedy, the truth of the Bible is ultimately to be believed and then experienced. And living in a time when the very concept of truth itself is under fire, it has never been more important to understand why we can be confident about what we believe. Despite the misunderstanding of many, the Christian faith is not some blind leap in the dark, but rather it is a faith in the evidences that we have been given. Nobody more powerfully proclaimed those truths and our reasons for believing them than Dr. D. James Kennedy. And we have just published a new book of that teaching that we want to share with you at this Christmas time. It's called 12 Reasons Why I Believe. And we will send it to you as our thanks for your generous donation to the ongoing work of this ministry. In this book, Dr. Kennedy explains the evidence for believing that there is a God, that the Bible is His Word, and that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, among other truths of Christianity. 12 Reasons Why I Believe will bolster your own faith and help you answer questions from others. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free 877-962-7677. Or go online to djkm.org. And if you are able to give a donation of $75 or more, we will send you the book plus the 12-message set on 6 DVDs, D. James Kennedy on Why I Believe. These messages contain some of Dr. Kennedy's most powerful teaching on the evidences for the Christian faith and answers to the challenges of skeptics. You will want to watch these messages as well as to share them with your children, your grandchildren, or even your Sunday school class or small group. And if you can give a donation of $100 or more, we will send you the book, 12 Reasons Why I Believe, the 12 DVD messages, D. James Kennedy on Why I Believe, and Dr. Kennedy's classic hardcover book, What If the Bible Had Never Been Written?, co-written with our own Dr. Jerry Newcomb. This book shows the incredible impact that the Word of God has had on our world, including in politics and in law, the founding of America, science, among many other areas. The Bible is the book that built the Western world. And you can find out how in Dr. Kennedy's meticulously researched classic book, What If the Bible Had Never Been Written? We will send it to you as well as the 12-message DVD set, D. James Kennedy on Why I Believe, and the just-published book, 12 Reasons Why I Believe, as our thanks for your donation of $100 or more. This is literally a treasure trove of some of Dr. Kennedy's most important teaching. And by donating, you will also be helping us to get the truth out to a wider audience through television, internet, and ways yet undreamed of. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free, 877-962-7677. Or go online to djkm.org. As the Christmas season gets into full swing, It appears that there are more than 60 new holiday films that will premiere before the new year on outlets like Netflix and the Hallmark Channel. Most of these tell stories of romance or evoke the sentimental warmth of Christmas past. But the true Christmas story, the reason we have this season at all, is far more compelling than any of them. We understand what Christmas is really all about from perhaps the most familiar verse in Scripture. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. The central miracle of Christianity, indeed the central event of world history, is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, coming to earth in the form of a man, a real human being with real human nature in what we call the Incarnation. Jesus was born at Christmas, yet we dare not forget, even in this joyous season, that He was born to die. To die in our place for the punishment of our sins, so that we wouldn't have to face eternal death ourselves. A verse that summarizes this good news in one sentence comes from Paul's second letter to the Christians in Corinth. God made Him who knew no sin, that is Jesus, to become sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. This is the great exchange that the Lord of the universe offers us, our sin, in exchange for Jesus's righteousness. When Jesus died for us outside the city gate as one dying under the curse of God, He became the sin that God hates so much, so that our sin might be atoned for in Him. Christmas is a wonderful time, and I hope yours will be filled with warmth and decorations and food and family. But as we celebrate, let's give thanks for the true Christmas story and for the greatest gift of Christmas time, the gift of eternal life offered to all who will trust in Him. D. James Kennedy Ministries is standing for truth and defending your freedom. Thanks for joining us for this edition of Truths That Transform. I'm Frank Wright, and we'll see you next time.
Next week on Truths That Transform.
Well, at 16, I committed a murder, and I was convicted for a second-degree murder and many robberies.
Who is Jesus Christ? Next to the question of whether or not there is a God, this is no doubt the most important question that can be urged upon the human mind.
That's next week. Today's program is available on DVD for your gift to this ministry of any amount. Please call, write, or log on to our website today. This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.